Through thick and thin, Europeans are sticking by the euro.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Greek leaders are back at the negotiating table with the country's lenders in Athens today. They're trying to avoid a messy default by figuring out just how much Greek debt has to be repaid. It's just the latest crisis moment for the euro. And yet, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, the European public remains committed to the common currency.
In many ways, the euro has been a disaster for Greece. But Vicky Christopoulou, a restaurant manager in Athens, doesn't believe her country should pull out of the single currency.
I think that I would stay with the euro.
Euro membership is a straitjacket for Greece. It cannot devalue and so make its exports cheaper. It can't grow its way out of trouble. Membership means more austerity. And yet more than 70% of Greeks, like Vicky, still seem to love the euro.
It makes the European Union one. Everybody joining into one group. So it keeps us as a group. So that's why I want it still.
Italy is also suffering from the constraints of euro membership, but most Italians, like Stefania Concilio, a school administrator, also support the euro as a way of bringing Europe closer together.
The European currency is a good tool to make relationship better. So I agree with it and I'm happy for that.
Most Italians say if you're looking for something to blame for the debt crisis in Italy, look no further than corruption and tax evasion.
I think that European currency is not the cause, absolutely not.
Ironically, there's most doubt about the euro in the country that's done best out of membership. Germany has taken half of all the extra business generated by the common currency. But Germans are now among the most sceptical about monetary union. Here's Richard Hessler, a post office worker.
The problem is that Germany has to bail out all the others, you know, and things are getting worse. And I don't see a real solution there.
In one recent poll, 50% of Germans said they'd now prefer to pull out of the euro.
I don't mind us going back to the good old Deutschmark. And I must confess, I still have some Deutschmark banknotes under my pillow. And I'm ready to reactivate them anytime soon.
The return of the Deutschmark is not in the cards, but the waning support for the euro in the zone's biggest, most powerful economy is not an encouraging sign. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now to South Carolina, where in just 2 days, voters will cast their primary votes in the Republican presidential race. Mitt Romney leads in the latest polls, even though many Tea Party supporters see him as too moderate on the issues. Jean Hampton is one of the founding members of the South Carolina Tea Party, and she joins us now from Myrtle Beach. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, when this race began, way back when, what exactly were you looking for in a candidate? What did you want most in the next president?
I think it's getting people back to work and creating jobs.
So who have you settled on in the race?
I support Rick Perry's platform because I look at him as really a true outsider from Washington, D.C. I like his idea of a part-time Congress.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this. What if Mitt Romney becomes the nominee? What are you going to do?
I will support the nominee for the Republican Party, but I will expect him to go to Washington, D.C. to support my conservative issues as well.
Anything bother you about Mitt Romney?
I think he is a little bit too unstable in his stance. I know he has changed his mind, which is everybody's prerogative, but I would prefer someone that has been more straight down the line conservative.
What about these ads that are running in South Carolina involving his time at Bain Capital? Are those affecting your view at all?
I know he's a businessman, and sometimes businesses do fail in order to create more growth. You have to go through that process sometimes. So I'd give him the benefit of the doubt on that, since he is more of a business person than I am.
Jean Hampton is one of the founding members of the South Carolina Tea Party. She was speaking with us from Myrtle Beach. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you so much.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up about 1% in Tokyo and up about 0.1% right now in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 96 points to close at 12,578.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Apple is holding an event in New York today, and analysts are expecting the company to announce it is jumping into the electronic textbook market. But ebooks in the classroom aren't for everyone, as Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
It's one thing to read Ulysses on your Kindle for English Lit, says Jeff Young at the Chronicle of Higher Education. But students tell him it's a much different thing to use an e-reader for principles of accounting.
The tables with all these numbers in fine print, the font was too small, and it was a miserable experience.
He says pilot programs around the country have shown students vastly prefer hard copy textbooks to highlight and take notes above all, but also just to stay on the same page.
Literally. You say turn to page 159.
Eric Weil heads the research firm Student Monitor.
Well, 159 in the printed text isn't necessarily 159 in the e-text.
Because there's no standard platform to convert, format, or distribute e-textbooks, Dan Turner at the University of Washington says digital academia won't take off until there is.
I think we're all waiting for some player to come along that puts the whole ecosystem together.
One player like Apple? The multi-billion-dollar textbook industry is about to find out. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, President Obama has released his first TV ad of the 2012 campaign, and it ends with this familiar tagline.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Sounds kind of like what he said in this ad 4 years ago.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
In fact, it sounds exactly like what he said 4 years ago.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Now, I guess he's a busy guy, but it does make you wonder if he really approved the message. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.